Glory to the name of the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
You got
glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been a time in these last several days. I have so much to share with you in this hour, saints of God. On people, my friends and my family, my church family around the world. I have so very much to share with you in this hour. Oh, my. God is good. God is good. I want you all to know that when you are obedient before God, that He certainly will take care of you. God has provided so many things for us in these last 7 days. I want to help you, if I may, in this hour. I want to teach you a little something that is very necessary for every Christian and every believer to know and understand. We are in a time where sometimes our faith is challenged. And sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we just really don't know what to do. And sometimes we find ourselves in a position of the unknown. What is on the other side? How am I going to get through this? Let me share something with you quickly. Let me help you to understand what is happening. In this season, we are going through a time, the body of Christ I'm speaking of is going through an hour of transitioning. Now, what exactly does that mean? We are transitioning from one place in our spirit to another place. In the spirit, transitioning from your spirit to the spirit, it's important that you understand exactly where you are. Now, if anyone is having any trouble hearing the broadcast, please turn up your volume. If you're having trouble hearing the broadcast, please turn up your volume. I have the volume all the way up. I've been told by a lot of people that they had trouble hearing the broadcast because the volume was so low. I have already spoke about this, and I am assured that the volume is up. If you're having trouble, turn your volume up on your telephone. In the meantime, let's get back to the Word. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. I want to go over some things with you because we need wisdom. I said we need wisdom in everything that we do in this hour. I was speaking a few minutes ago that we are going through a time of transitioning from our spirit where we are, where we reside, in our daily routine, and our flesh. Our own spirit is our flesh. We're going to transition. I want to teach you how to transition from the flesh of your own spirit into the realm of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's only one way to do this. So I'm going to teach you, and I want you to learn and understand what it is to transition and what happens after you transition. The book of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to start in chapter 1. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. There's a period at the end of that sentence. Heavenly Father, come before the Almighty God, and I ask you, Lord God, to carry your voice. Plant this word in the hearts of the hearers, everyone that is under the sound of my voice for the next 30 minutes, Lord God. Plant the seed in their heart. Plant this word and water it daily, that not only will they be able to receive this word planted in their spirit, but that they carry this word with them in their days ahead, in their daily routine, and in their transitioning. Heavenly Father, I ask you to stand up for me and speak what you people, what you want your people to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read my passage again. My scripture this evening is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. What exactly does that mean, Apostle? People that have eloquent speech, very highly educated, some of those people, some of those of us who are leaders that do have churches, some have larger churches than others, have a tendency that when sometimes we speak, the speaking part of it is very difficult sometimes to understand. Why is that? Because of the wisdom of words, the knowledge of words, the dialogue sometimes is so high-end that you really don't always know those big college words that people use. Sometimes you would have to be a college graduate yourself in order to get the message. We're going to break this down just a little bit. Now, I'm not going to go into the street with it, but I am going to walk through the street with it. Now, this is how we operate. This is what has to happen. In order for you to succeed in knowing what the word is explaining to you, one, you have to study it. Two, you have to research. Three, you have to accept what you read as knowledge. And verse 18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Why? What does that mean? There are a lot of people that do not understand the Holy Scriptures. And because they don't understand it, they choose not to accept it. Rather than studying the scriptures, looking at other versions, going through and going into the root of the culture to find out why that scripture was written, who wrote it, what was the circumstance behind it, what happened, what time was it, what season was it, who was there. Research the scriptures so you have knowledge for yourself. And then it says, if you don't believe in the cross, how can you believe in the scriptures? How can you believe in the scriptures if you don't believe in a cross? You don't believe in Jesus Christ? Then what's the sense of believing in the scriptures? I had somebody tell me the other day that they don't believe in preaching on the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the Holy Ghost. But yet they speak in tongues. So I don't understand that, and I had to do a little research of my own. How is it that you can believe that you have the Holy Ghost already because somebody said that you're born with discernment? So I don't understand that, because the Bible declares that you have to seek the Holy Ghost in Acts in chapter 2. You have to wait on the Holy Ghost to be filled with that fire. You got to wait on God for that Holy Ghost to come into the room and sit on you where you have the Holy Ghost fire. So if you have the Holy Ghost fire, the evidence of that is speaking in tongues. And if you don't believe in it and you're speaking in tongues, may I ask you what language are you speaking and where did it come from? So we're avoiding the message of the cross as being foolishness to those who are perishing. Yes, that's right. That's what it says in verse 18, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. People are perishing for lack of knowledge. They don't understand what they're reading, so they don't read it. They're perishing for lack of knowledge because the cross is not being taught to them. And it also goes on to say, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This, saints, is what is necessary for you to understand in this hour. When you accept the cross of Christ, there's power in that cross. There's power in it. So once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you have the power and the salvation and the redemption to receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. He says in 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. What exactly is he saying? What is he telling me? Well, the word prudent means acting with showing care and thought for the future. No prudent money manager would authorize a loan without knowing its purpose. He said it again, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. What is happening? I am destroying. God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, those people who know everything but don't know him. I will destroy the wisdom of everything of God. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, those people who are highly educated and will not teach the scriptures and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. In other words, those who are being transformed by mind are taught differently than what God wants you to be taught. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. God is absolutely destroying people that don't believe in the word, and he is destroying people that preach against the Holy Spirit in order for people to be saved and receive the Holy Spirit. I cannot hear anything. I cannot hear anybody on this line whatsoever. If you have your phones on mute, open your phones so I can tell that there's somebody listening to this message. The Bible declares in verse 22, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews and a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Unmute your phones so that you can have a part in this service. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We need to preach truth and understanding. We need to preach the word of God as it is written. We need to carry out everything that God has given us instruction to carry out. We need to know where we are in God, and we need to stand on that word accordingly. He says in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. What exactly is he talking about? You see your calling. People of God, you see your calling. That not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Is anyone there? Can you hear me? Is anyone there? Amen, somebody.
Hello?
Hello.
What happened?
I don't know what's going on.
I'm here, Pastor. There you
are. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
The devil is a lie.
I know that's
this.
Right in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
this
God.
Message will go forth. This message
we
is going to go forth all the way around the world 12 times.
Come on.
12 times.
Hallelujah,
yes,
Lord
Lord
God.
From the other side.
In the name of Jesus.
This thing is going to cease right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
This word is going out on my broadcast right now in the name of Jesus.
No.
Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That has, it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. People of God, keep in mind just now, keep in mind this. Keep in mind this. We are called and chosen and consecrated and sanctified because it's a part of God's plan for our life. Not because we choose to. We are chosen. We don't choose anything. God chooses us. And when we get to that place where we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we make a commitment, a conscious decision, a commitment to serve Jesus Christ, then our life belongs to Him. Our life belongs to God. We are chosen by God, set apart by God, consecrated by God, sanctified by God to do the things and the purposes of God so that we receive the wisdom that God has for us through Christ Jesus. We needed to understand the knowledge and the word of God. We needed to understand it. And people did not understand it in the biblical days, and they're not understanding it in this hour. And the reason that they are not understanding it this hour is because they are not seeking or searching to understand it. And this is a problem that the saints of God has in this hour. Folk are getting saved, and then they're listening to a word from somebody, and then they want to go out and they want to start a church, or they want somebody to come and prophesy over them so they can get out and call themselves a prophet. You either call to prophesy or you're not. You're either called to preach or you're not. You're either called to witness or you're not. This is what you need to understand. Not everybody is called. We have got to get to this understanding. We do have a calling in our life, but our calling set us apart. And when we go through this transitioning, when we go through the transitioning from not having faith to having faith, then we need to learn how to walk according to our faith. And if we don't fast or pray, then we don't understand the word. I cannot sit and be taught the word under somebody that doesn't know it. I cannot sit up under somebody that is not filled with the Holy Ghost, because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know what the word is teaching me. So if I sit up under somebody that is 30 years younger than me, that has not been seasoned as much as I've been seasoned, and has not been through the same hell that I've been through, and has not been through the same things that I've been through, they cannot teach me anything because they have not been where I have been. They cannot teach me because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They cannot teach me because maybe they don't even have the sanctification. I am over age and over season for many people that are young. It's not to say that they might not be a good speaker. It's not to say that they may not be a good witness. I'm going to leave that alone, because folk are good witnesses. When they get saved, they got a testimony. I'm saying that my seasoning as a woman of God is far beyond those who just got saved 2 years ago, those who got saved 5 years ago. I've got 30 years behind me. I know where I am walking because I have been searching and seeking those things that I needed to transition from the world into the spirit. I have had to go through some stuff. You have to go through things. Receiving Jesus Christ is not going to be an easy thing because of what he had to go through for us. We got to go through for him. All this pain and suffering and the beatings and the mockery and the spitting upon that Christ went through for us even before he was crucified, we got to go through it too. We have to go through those things, and a lot of people won't. And I'll tell you what, because they don't want to hurt your feelings. A lot of people won't even preach what true salvation is. They won't preach the cross. They won't tell you about your nasty self. They won't tell you about those bad habits, because they don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. They don't tell you what you need to do. They don't tell you what you need to change. They don't help you get to the next level, because they're so afraid that they're going to lose a friend that they don't teach nothing that they need to be teaching. Believe me when I tell you, we're not going to go to heaven in nobody's Cadillac. I'm not going to get to heaven in a Rolls Royce. So I'm not going to sit here and prophesy to you that if you give me $1,000, God's going to give you a Rolls Royce. No, he isn't. You can give me $1,000 if you want, but a car ain't going to come with it. That doesn't mean that. What we got to understand, people of God, is that there is always going to be sacrifice in our suffering. And there will always be suffering in our sacrifice. Every time I lay down before God, I have to do two things. I have to first make sure that my temple is clean, and then I have to go to a place where I can see God without distraction, without telephones, without computers, without TVs, without hearing things that I normally pay attention to. I've got to leave distractions alone. I can't be distracted when I'm in the presence of God. We had a service on Sunday that blew the socks off everybody. It was the most powerful anointed service that we have had in a long time in our church, because I've got Holy Ground Temple on a fast. Our people have been fasting. We've been asking God for a church building, a place that we could call home. Out of nowhere, we got a building out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. All of a sudden, a building is empty, and we're given the keys. The keys are handed to us. We are now in our building, and we were celebrating in the spirit, because God is worthy to be praised. When you go before God and you fast and pray before God and you pay attention to the cross, put that cross first and then your wisdom of the word. Put the cross first. Well, how do I do that, Apostle? Accept it. Preach, teach, understand, have knowledge that Jesus Christ gave his life that you might be saved, that you might be sanctified, that you might have eternal life. Put all that before anything else. Believe in it. Accept it. Digest it. That is your breakfast, lunch, and dinner all day long. It's your bedtime snack. Let God show you what you need to see. Let him teach you what you need to hear. Let God in your heart. Give him some time. Give him your presence. Let him speak to your spirit. Let him teach you knowledge. Let him teach you understanding. Do what needs to be done so that you are always, so that you are always of knowledge and understanding no matter what the situation is. When you go into somebody's service and you are not hearing the word of God taught, I'm sorry, but I have to say I have to get up and leave. I'm sorry, y'all. I love y'all to the dearest of my heart. I love y'all. You're my best friend. I love you. You're my family. I love y'all. But when I walk in somebody's house and they're not preaching the truth, I got to go. I'm sorry. I might even get up and leave before you take the offering, but I'll definitely give you a blessing. That's just the way it is. I cannot sit under somebody that is not teaching the truth to me. I go to church to be fed. I want me some bread. I like to eat bread. I want some bread. The Bible declares that the word is the bread of life. I need bread. I need to be fed. So when I go in that service, I expect just that. I expect to leave full and know that I've been in church. I need to know that I have had an opportunity to worship. I need to know the Holy Ghost is real and that fire is sitting on me. My time is almost up. I have 1 minute left. But I'm here to tell you, people of God, now is the hour, right now. If you have not given your love and your life to Jesus Christ, now is the time to repent and turn away from everything that is keeping you from the cross, every single thing that is keeping you from God. Turn away from it. Yes, I realize that we had a disturbance in this broadcast. I realize that there was a disconnection, but I'm telling you, God is real. And I don't care how many times we were disconnected, God reconnected this broadcast so somebody could get a word. I'm coming before you right now. The invitation stands open. Whatever you're doing, just drop it and pray. And thank God for the wisdom and the understanding of his word that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And study your word, study the Bible, and stay in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, praise God. Any questions, any statements, anybody got something want to say? It's been a great day, what the prophet is, what the apostle has said. Now, I know somebody, I got the numbers, and I wrote it down. Somebody got to interfere with what was being taught today. And I'm the one, I got the number, and I want you to know we love you. But we're not going to tolerate interference when the word of God is being preached.
Amen.
I'm not going to allow it. When I sit there and watch whatever, wait a minute, what's going on? And I heard somebody in the background arguing. I got your phone number. And I'm going to let them check it out, and I'm going to find out. But I want you to know one thing. The love we have, what we are doing, is not because of somebody, but for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. Apostle?
Yes, sir.
I thank God.
I'm here, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I'm gonna give you another 10 minutes. Another 10 minutes, cause the devil. I'm gonna make the devil a lie. Go on, take 10 more minutes.
Hello, glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, sir. Amen. Let's continue then. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle. I appreciate that. And give recognition to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Always. Thank you, Apostle. I appreciate it. In chapter 2, the Bible says, in chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible declares, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." No matter how people sound, people of God, no matter how they sound, whether you can understand what they're saying or not. Not everybody has eloquent ways of speaking. Some people cannot pronounce or enunciate their words correctly. That doesn't mean that God cannot touch their mouth, their mind, their memory, their knowledge, because the word of God has got to come through a prophet's mouth in order for it to be told.
Amen.
It's got to be spoken through the mouth of the vessel. I don't care how educated you are. It doesn't matter. The Bible does not decree that we have to have an education. It says we have to study to show ourselves to be approved. It doesn't say we have to have an education.
Amen.
You've got to know how to read. You've got to know how to study to show yourself approved. Well, Father, how do I study? You get the Bible. What you don't understand, you sit down with somebody that does. What you cannot read, you go and study the language. You study English. Most Bibles are written in English. You study English until you understand what that scripture is saying. And if you can't do it, then call Apostle Crystal Caldwell, and I will help you study it. I will help you get an understanding of what it is that God wants you to understand and read in the scriptures. You can call, leave a message, and I'll call you back. Or you can go to our email and send me a message. I will gladly message you and help you understand the word. It is not always easy, but we are declaring a testimony to God when we learn to submit to the word. Well, Apostle, how does that happen? Let me tell you how Apostle Caldwell does it. I study the word all the way into the root of the word, and I pray over my mouth, my memory, my knowledge, my wisdom, and my understanding. I ask God to help me retain it. And then I move myself out of the pulpit. My church will tell you. I move myself out and ask the Holy Spirit to stand there and teach what he wants his servant to speak. And trust me, it is not me preaching. It's the Holy Ghost when I preach. It's not me.
That's right.
This is the other thing you've got to understand, too, in this hour in verse 2. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Keep in mind, people of God, that when you're speaking about anything, I don't care what it is, if you do not have knowledge of a situation or a circumstance or any kind of information on something, then that's what you need to tell that person. The only thing I know, the only information I accept is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you know that is one of the smartest ways to get people off the phone when you don't want to hear that gossip? That is the best way to shut the devil down. I don't know nothing except Jesus Christ crucified. That's all I know. I don't know nothing but Jesus Christ crucified. Well, what do you know about that? I know he died for me, and I know he died for you.
Amen.
He died for my redemption, and he died for your redemption. That's what I know. I don't know nothing about nobody else's business. I don't want to know. Don't be crying to me about what you think somebody did. I know this. Jesus Christ died for you. He died for them. He died for me, that we would all be redeemed. We would have redemption, that we would follow him, and that we would have life eternal in heaven with him. Then he says in verse 3, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Keep yourselves humble. Keep yourselves humble. You don't know everything, people of God. I don't know everything. I don't profess to. But I can see. I can see. I know what I see. Because I have discernment, I can see. Because I have knowledge that God has given me through my searching of the scriptures, I have knowledge and understanding that when I hear somebody speak or preach to me, I know the difference between truth and what is it? I know what is God, and I know what isn't God. That's where we are in our transitioning. When you go from the flesh to the faith of receiving and accepting the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit will stay with you through all teaching and will teach you and guide you and lead you where you need to go. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
He says in verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. What exactly is he telling me? We speak wisdom among those who are mature. Those who are mature in the Lord, those who are seasoned, well-seasoned, we speak with wisdom. You know that those people that are mature are going to see right through a lie. So if you try to tell somebody what the Lord said and he didn't say it, they're going to know it. When you speak with wisdom to someone who is mature in God, you cannot, under any condition, lie or speak what you think the Lord told you to somebody that is seasoned in God. They will not see it. They will not accept it. He's saying, yet not the wisdom of this age. Those people that are going through this new age doctrine will agree with a lie before they will accept the truth of the word. You've got to use wisdom. You've got to know who you're talking to. So when somebody accepts what you say, accepts what is being said, when I take my church into a service and I know that the preaching is wrong, believe you me, my church is going to look at me like, "Well, we're here." They're going to be saying, "Apostle, what in the world?
Amen.
That don't sound right." Because they know how to identify truth, because that's what I taught them to identify.
Amen.
If anything is being preached that is not truth, it's not New Age or it's New Age doctrine, they're going to know the difference because I had taught them the truth. They know wisdom, they know knowledge, and they know understanding. And what don't sound right, they know when to get up and leave if it don't sound right. And he says in this New Age, he says in verse 6, which is the last part of it, who are coming to nothing. God is going to bring New Age to nothing. New Age doctrine is coming to nothing. That's what he's telling you. So all this false teaching, all this false doctrine, it's all going to come to an end. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Mm.
Well, let me go there. This is exactly what I just said. If we don't understand the word of God, how can we preach it? How can we teach the word of God if you don't understand it? There's no way that you could teach the truth of the word of God if you don't understand it. I'll give you a classic example, and then I'm going to get off and because I'm taking up my time. My time is just about over. One thing that we need to understand is if we just read the surface of the scriptures, then a lot of times we could take that context out of order. A lot of people throw at me, does a woman have a right to be a bishop? A lot of people throw that at me. Read that scripture and get this understanding. Paul said, a man desires to be a bishop. Then he gave a whole list of instructions that man had to go through in order to be a bishop. I didn't call myself to be a bishop, because people ask me, who called you to be a bishop? I didn't call myself to be no bishop. I didn't call myself to be an apostle. God appointed me to be an apostle.
Amen.
He appointed me to be a bishop, the overseer of our ministry. I am with my husband. We are a team. My husband is a bishop. I am a bishop. We were consecrated the same time. We were both installed the same time. I am an affirmed apostle. I have licensing to back it up. We were called and chosen at the same time. 14 years. My husband and I both have overseen our ministry for 14 years. We have studied to show ourselves approved. We are seasoned in the work that we do. We know what we're doing.
Amen.
God has used us in ways that nobody could ever understand because we are faithful in what we do. We put God first in everything. We lay before God. We pray for each other. We pray over our children. We pray over our family. We pray over our church. And we pray for anything else. We take care of kingdom business before we take care of our own. But we got to understand this, people of God. If you don't know the root of the word, then you cannot teach the surface of the word. That's just like growing a flower in sand. If there's no dirt in the sand, you're not going to grow a flower. Seriously, you cannot grow a flower when the seed is not going to be, the seed won't even go in the dirt.
Mm.
You have to have dirt. You got to have seed in order to grow. You got to have root in order to know that it's going to come back.
Mm.
Nothing grows back without root. Nothing can grow back without root. If you pull the root out, then there's nothing there. You got to plant the seed again, or you got to transplant that root. And this is one of the things that we need to even understand in this hour. When you pull up the root of the Word of God, transplant it in your heart so that your mind will grow.
Mm. Glory.
Yeah, I'm going to say that again so that you get it. You can write
Glory.
That down. When you uproot the Word of God and transplant that in your heart, you can't help but grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. There's no way not to grow because the Spirit waters that root daily and causes it to branch out. That's where you get your growth. Thank you so much for your time and patience with me in this hour. Heavenly Father, we come before thee and we thank you for the teaching of your word. We glorify your name. We lift your name on high. And Lord, I ask you to touch and bless each person under the sound of my voice that they can continue until next week, Lord God, in the growth of the Spirit, in the growth of the word, and continue to walk in the Spirit with me, your servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. What a blessed teaching. What a blessed teaching. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May he cause his sun to shine upon you. Peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.